Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, it was only 18 years ago that they were, Scott Drew got the job and they were recovering from, why were they in a rebuild? Because they had, a player got murdered. They tried to cover up the murder. They tried to tell the players, the one and only, Dave Bliss.
Is there anybody that was a part of the university at that time in the athletic department?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I wouldn't think so, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. By the way, on tomorrow's program at 7:02, the great Mike Tirico will be with us. Haven't talked to him in a while. Big friend of the program, friend of the station. Love to hear from him. All right. Baylor demolishing Gonzaga yesterday, 86-70. And, right from the get-go, you could just see the difference in the athleticism and the physicality of the team. They just played such tenacious defense. And I said this earlier in the program, and I'll say it again. It reminded me of when a good team from the suburbs goes and plays in the city for the first time. That's what it looked like to me. Even a summer league, we're going to go play at St. Cecilia's, and oh boy, this is a little different than we're used to. Now, obviously, they played other teams that have been pretty good before, especially in their non-conference. They have played, they played Kansas, they played West Virginia, they played Virginia, they played Iowa. So it's just their conference is so weak that they had so many cupcakes. That's why people questioned how good they were. And if they would have won, people would have tried to get into a debate of the greatest teams ever, and they wouldn't even come close.
No.
Just because of the athletes on the team. And look, even though they basically pooped in their pants yesterday, they still are a very good team. They deserve to be a number one seed, but that's it. That's it. And their best players, Suggs got in a foul trouble, so I'll blame him for that a little bit. But, Timmy and Kispert, they came up small, and so did Ayayi. He came up small, too.
It's always a tough one to say.
I know.
Gonzaga got hit in the mouth, and they looked like they were absolutely stunned that they were down 9-0. And at that point, they never did anything to recover. Baylor continued the pressure defense. They continued to block shots inside. All of the easy shots that Gonzaga was able to get all season long, all tournament long, the layups, the being able to pass the ball – they cut off passing lanes. They extended. They made Gonzaga extend out past where they were comfortable in operating their offense. And when they were able to get in the lane, time after time, they were absolutely rejected. And they just never had an answer for anything Baylor did all night long.
Right. They switched to a zone because they couldn't defend the man-to-man. And it worked for a while, but they were giving up. They were finding, Teague was finding these free spots in the middle of the zone and just hitting short jumpers. I mean, they couldn't defend at all.
They couldn't. And it was just a prime example of, hey, something happened that we didn't expect to happen. And that is Gonzaga got hit in the mouth, and they just were never able to recover. I mean, Baylor came out firing on all cylinders, playing at a completely different level than Gonzaga, and Gonzaga could never get to that level. They could never reach that just the enthusiasm, the energy. They could never get to that, to where Baylor was last night.
They were, and the other story of the game is the, like we talked about, the physicality, but it manifested on the rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, Baylor had 14 offensive rebounds. And anytime they would miss a shot, they'd get a rebound again. And there was a one sequence where they put it up like two or three times in a row. Finally, they got the fourth one to fall. And they were so big. I mean, my daughter was sitting there, this guy Vital, he looks like a football player. He was unbelievable, all the rebounds he got.
And you talk about, like you just mentioned, the offensive rebounds. They out-rebounded, Baylor out-rebounded Gonzaga, 38-22.
Yeah, and turnovers killed Gonzaga, too. They usually turn the ball over 9 or 10 times.
Mm-hmm. But 14
turnovers. And a lot of that was... Some of it actually were self-inflicted. They made some really awful passes. They were telegraphing cross-court passes. They gagged.
Well, they were passes that, playing against other opponents that they played against, that they could complete. Like, they were the same passes, but when you play against an athletic team like Baylor that has the size of that Baylor has, you can't make some of those passes. And they were lulled into thinking, hey, this is what we're doing. It even worked against Kansas at the end of the year. They were able to make some of those passes. But Baylor denied those passes. They stepped in. They intercepted some of those passes. And getting to the basket where, you know, they were able to get so many great layups throughout the course of the tournament, all of those layups, there was a big Baylor paw there to knock it away.
Yeah. Our telephone number, 248-539-9797. Let's say hello to Bill. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, I guess, I listen to you guys every day, even though I live in Green Bay and my father's employed was employed by the Packers. So I've seen basically every home Packer game since 1977. I think I was 6 years old at the time when we started. And what I saw last night in the game reminded me of the game in 2002. Now, keep in mind, I'm a Lion fan because I grew up in the UP. So, you know, going there every weekend is a bit odd. But anyway, what I saw last night, in 2002, the Falcons and Michael Vick came in and put just a beat down on Brett Favre and the Packers, to the point where it's the only time I've ever seen it where at halftime, lifelong season ticket holders of the Packers were empty in the stadium by the middle of the third quarter. It was one of the best sights I've ever seen because I've seen many a Lion beat down there before.
Do you remember what the point spread was that the Packers were favored by?
No, but I feel like the Falcons qualified for the playoffs like on a tiebreaker. They were like, I want to say like 9-6-1, and I think the Packers were. That was one of the years they were 13-3 or 14-2, and they just laid an egg. That's what it reminded me of, where the Falcons, and it seemed like everything they did just was like another dagger, and they just kept hitting them and coming and blocking a punt and a long run, and then another first down, and they couldn't stop Michael Vick, and they had no answer at all. And you know, we've all seen Brett when he gets frantic, yeah, he just starts throwing the ball up for grabs then.
If you don't mind me asking, what did or does your father do for the Packers?
He was in landscaping, okay, and field work. So
okay,
hey, thanks for listening from Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah. We're asking for what game or series you remember where a prohibitive favorite just got blown out like Gonzaga did last night.
That game, I remember that game. LG Crumpler was huge in that game. Remember him?
Yeah.
The difference about that is the Packers didn't have the stature of Gonzaga going into that game.
Right.
It was a good Packer team. It's not one of the better ones. I mean, this was supposed to be, it probably is the best Gonzaga team. I think, I don't know, it was a beatdown last night. I think it was a bed crapping. Like, what compares, using that term, from a team that went into a game like this, and it was supposed to be a coronation almost. I mean, there was people thought the game would be good, but this was Gonzaga's moment, and they crapped the bed.
Talking about that Baylor-Gonzaga and the beatdown that Baylor gave to Gonzaga, and basically Gonzaga did kind of crap the bed. When was a prohibitive favorite subject to such a beatdown where they crapped the bed? And it doesn't have to be one game, because the ones we came up with earlier that I still believe are somewhat similar is, the Lakers against the Pistons in 2004. It was a 5-game sweep, as is affectionately known and we make fun of. But they were a prohibitive favorite, and they crapped the bed. The Pistons played very well, but the Lakers were just completely they discombobulated. You know, they brought in, you know, Payton and Malone for the carnation for them to get their rings, and they didn't. Other local one was the Wings in 95. Once the Wings won the Western Conference Finals in 95, where they beat Chicago, if my memory is correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody assumed that they were going to win the Stanley Cup. They were big favorites, too, and they got swept big time. And you can even go back to the 06 Tigers, too.
Yeah, against the Cardinals, but the thing, 06, it was so fresh and new.
Right.
I think 2012 was more so for the Tigers with the getting swept by the Giants.
Yeah.
But I think I figured one out. It's not local, but I think I got the one that comps very good to this. It's football.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yep.
a Super Bowl. Any guesses?
Well, mine was this year's, but I'll save that for a few minutes.
Oh, the Rams were a prohibitive favorite to win back-to-back against New England, right?
No, but the thing is, New England wasn't Baylor. See, the other foe was legit. And
right.
I think getting lost in this today, I kind of, after we had talked about it earlier, too much talk about Gonzaga and not at least giving credit to Baylor.
Oh,
for
I know.
Let me tell you something. Not many championship games, especially at college level, do you see a team come out with the AAA+ game. Usually it's a feeling out process.
Mm-hmm.
Even the college national championship game this year, there was a little bit of a feeling out early before things got going. This was the Seattle-Denver Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Seattle
was 2014.
2-1 seeds.
Yeah.
Two teams that were expected to be there.
Who was favored?
Denver, slightly.
Okay.
And that snap happened.
Yes.
And it just snowballed. And
Manny Ramirez.
And who would have thought Denver would have lost by 35 points that day?
Correct. You're right.
Now, lose the game, yeah. Just like people thought Gonzaga could lose last
yes.
night.
Yes.
But it's the way, and it really dampens their season. And I hate it. It shouldn't. You know, there's the whole talk of them being – like, I almost feel like, at least with Seattle and Denver, both teams were – like, there wasn't this narrative that Gonzaga's overrated, you know?
Denver wasn't playing in the West Coast Conference that year.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and I guess there's no underrated team like that really in the NFL. It's just Gonzaga's got that other thing hanging on them, and it allows all the haters of them to come out and celebrate.
Right. As far as, you know, being overrated, if Gonzaga would have lost a game, they still would have been a one seed. They still might have been the overall one seed, but I don't think that people would be calling them overrated. It's just the whole, oh my God, it could be the first. They're going to be the first team since 76. That's what led up to all the overhype, if you ask me.
Right, and that was going to be the conversation that we were going to have. If they won, where did that place them in the great teams of college basketball of all time? And I don't even think that they were a top 10 team, and that goes more towards won their competition throughout the course of the year, throughout the course of the tournament, but also where college basketball is right now,
yes.
that their competition level wasn't the same as other teams that we've seen that maybe didn't go undefeated, maybe had 5 or 6 losses, but they were a better team because they were their competition level throughout the course of the year was higher.
But like you look at like UNLV, you know, that was, you know, that team was so much better than Gonzaga, and they had, you know, obviously upset, lost to Duke, but they didn't play in a great conference either. Let's not forget that. So, I mean, I don't know if you can just go by the conference. You look at the players on the team, and you can't tell me that Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony go on and on were better than the Gonzaga team. Come on, it's not even close.
Well, but you also, you know, I know the descriptor was a prohibitive favorite.
Right.
Gonzaga was picked by, what, 4.5 points?
Yeah.
So I think it was the narrative of that we're working off of is a little bit exaggerated because there were times throughout the course of the year where they blew teams out. We didn't see them do it against, obviously, UCLA. I just didn't necessarily think that this was going to be a blowout. We thought if it was, it was going to be on the other side of things than it was Baylor coming out and hitting him in the mouth and never, ever relenting.
This is a pretty significant number, though. Heading into the Final Four, Gonzaga was -225 on the money line. That's a huge favorite.
Yeah.
Baylor was next at +375, which was actually the BetQL people were saying that was where the value was.
At +375, before the tournament?
No. before the Final Four.
Oh, okay.
Gonzaga, the numbers came down because of what happened Saturday night.
Yes.
But then I think we gave we credited UCLA with making Gonzaga look like that. And Gonzaga looked like themselves. Gonzaga didn't look like themselves last night.
Right. All right, good ticket text here. This is why Wojo's been right about how good they were. When you have to play multiple top 25 teams back-to-back, it takes a toll. Gonzaga looked like Michigan versus Illinois, just tired and worn out. That's why they are frauds with that schedule. Especially when the schedule is when they play those games. If they were mixed in with their conference games, it wouldn't be that bad, but they play all their allegedly tough games early, and they did have the Baylor game was postponed. Gonzaga was mentally and physically worn out from the UCLA game. They should have two full days rest before that final game. No, they shouldn't.
No.
That's been going on for years. Even before it was Saturday, Monday, they used to do Thursday, Saturday when I was a kid. And now Grant Hill talked about it. He said after the Christian Laettner game, they came out flat against Indiana, but they had a week. So, yeah, I'm sure it took a toll, but no, you're not going to schedule it because of that. No. This is why non-Power 5 teams don't deserve to be in the tournament. They can't hang with the big boys. Sarcasm. But most overrated and undefeated team in history.
The other thing, too, is with they played five solid non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those teams did well in the tournament.
You're right. West Virginia, Illinois, Kansas.
Iowa.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. Illinois. Iowa.
Right. Yeah. Baylor played Illinois. Right?
Yeah.
Well, and I also think, you know,
and Virginia.
The question that you asked earlier is this: does this permanently stain Gonzaga? And I don't think it does. I think they're just another team, like so many other, that are trying to put together a run to win a national championship.
And they've gone twice to the finals and lost both times. Both of their times in the Final Four, they actually won a game before losing.
Yes,
but I mean, Butler went to the finals twice and lost.
True.
And everybody perceives Butler as a mid-major.
Yeah, because they haven't. Yeah, because
they
didn't
do it as long. I get
right,
it.
That's why.
I guess what I'm saying is that they had the ultimate opportunity to get that monkey off their back, and they didn't.
No. Yeah.
And so it almost legitimizes, like the caller or the texter said there, Wojo's take.
Right. Here we go. Some prohibitive favorites that lost. George St. Pierre getting knocked out by Matt Serra for the UFC title. That's from Jeremy and Macomb. I'm not a UFC guy, so I don't understand the significance. I do remember it vaguely. Mm-hmm. Red Wings against the Mike Babcock-led Ducks. I want to say 2003.
Yeah.
Sam in Grand Rapids.
But they were coming off a title.
Yes.
This made it a little easier to take.
Yes. Does the 2012 World Series count as a favorite crapping the bed? Tigers were too damn stacked to get swept like that. Yes, we mentioned that. That's a good one. Is 4.5 point really a prohibitive favorite?
Right.
That's a question.
Yeah.
You can have that.
Might maybe the wrong word. Nobody is surprised that Baylor won.
No.
It's the way. And sometimes people say we shouldn't get it caught up in the way you win and lose. I just can't believe that this team, especially coming off that Saturday night where they got scared, came out that way. And that we had the final result. And I think we all know that thing could have been 25 or 30 if they wanted it to be.
Yep.
It was like UNLV in 90.
2015, Kentucky losing to Wisconsin was a bed crapping, even though Calipari is a trash coach while being an elite recruiter. Mike, I'm really confused. Help people. I'm really confused how people miss this period. I put $500 on Baylor at plus 175 because I saw what UCLA did to Gonzaga and how Baylor was destroying opponents. I'm really not that intelligent, but don't understand how other people did not make a killing on this. I know some people that actually bet on Baylor
mm-hmm.
in the money line because everybody thought it was going to be. I don't think anybody thought that Gonzaga was going to be a blowout.
No.
Either way.
No.
Let's go to Rob in South Lyon. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning, Stoney. I just have a quick question for all you Michigan guys. So when you talk about college football, do you think a 25-point do you think a 25-point underdog is a huge upset or shocking? Because I'm referring to the Michigan State football game from 2020, where
talking about in a big stage, so to speak. But yes, absolutely, that team crapped the bed.
Underdog, right?
Yeah, prohibitive underdog, no doubt. They crapped the bed.
And while I was waiting on the line, the second game I thought of, I believe it was 2014 in South Bend when Michigan got blown out. I think it was 31-0 against Notre Dame.
Were they Devin Gardner, Brady Hoax last year.
Yeah, were they favored? prohibitive favorites in that game?
I don't know.
Notre Dame was favored.
Okay,
but
I think
Devin Gardner had three interceptions.
Yeah, that completely doesn't count. Right. I mean, yeah. Call and list your games Michigan got blown out. We can do that story.
Well, you know, the thing about that game is, though, I think the other element with last night is you're sitting down and you think you're going to see a good game. You know,
yes.
And it just, the crap hits the fan instantly, and you're just like, kind of, that's why I brought up the Seattle-Denver game, man.
Yeah, it's a great comparison.
It was 9-0 before the first commercial break.
Look, I wanted Baylor to win, but I was sitting there hoping, all right, Gonzaga, let's make this a game a little bit. And like, I was like, all right, they're only down 10, you know, maybe they'll get a quick run to start the game, because basketball, as you know, is a game of runs. They never got anything going.
Do you think Mark Few should be criticized at all? I personally don't. I think they showed him a couple times, and he seemed a little stunned, but he seemed to want to trust his team.
Yeah, and he switched defense. It just didn't work. They tried to make adjustments. It didn't work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.